The Tom Woods Show, episode 2189.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey, everybody, we all know it is time for us to break up, but everybody's status quo bias is standing in the way of this obvious and humane solution. Check out my brand new ebook called National Divorce, The Peaceful Solution to Irreconcilable Differences, which you can get for free at nationaldivorce.com. Hey, everybody, Tom Woods here. You do not have to be a fan of the theater to appreciate this episode, but I am going to mention the theater at the very beginning, because that's where I got the idea for today's topic. As many of you know, I am a big, big fan of the theater, and I love going to Broadway shows. Yes, I know all the problems about New York, and I did not go to any show when there were mask or certainly not vaccine mandates. Not going to do that. But it is one of my, I wouldn't say quite guilty pleasures. My old friend Gene Epstein shares my interest in this particular pastime. But anyway, I want to start off by mentioning something that's going on Broadway that is of relevance to you, whether or not you care about the theater. I was looking at an article at BroadwayDirect.com, and the article is called A New 1776 for 2022. So the purpose of that, or the meaning behind that headline, is that there's going to be a Broadway revival of 1776, which is a historical musical. And of course, it surrounds the decision for independence and the Declaration of Independence. Well, no surprise there, right? It's a somewhat well-known musical. Revivals happen all the time on Broadway. What's different about this one? Well, here's what's different about it. According to the article, America's founding fathers, this is a quotation, are now played by female, transgender, and non-binary actors of varying ethnicities. Now, I won't say the obvious thing. There are many obvious things here, but one of them is, obviously, if a white person plays a character of another race, that's considered to be the end of the world. I forget who it is they've got playing Fidel Castro in some upcoming television or film project, and there was outrage that the person didn't have the right ethnic background, although Castro had at least half European parents. But anyway, it doesn't matter. You can't get away with that. But this, everybody celebrates. I don't care what you want to do, but this is obviously making a political statement. Over the course of the article, numerous people in the play are quoted. They share their thoughts. And one of them says, when asked, were you a fan of 1776 before this revival and before being cast in it? And one of them said, no, quote, I wasn't really interested in learning about a history that didn't include or consider people like me. Now, we're all supposed to swoon over stuff like this, but that's just narcissistic self-preoccupation right there. Why would you not be interested in a history that didn't include people like you? That describes most history. When I look at most of the places I've studied around the world, these are people who are quite different from me. And not just racially or because I'm a man and some of them are women. It's not that. They have wildly different points of view on different things. They have different traditions, different cultures. Yeah, that's how you draw yourself out of navel gazing, is by your eagerness to learn history that might be about people unlike yourself. And we read, I felt really excited to reclaim the space that was taken from LGBTQ+ people in the creation of the country, a country where we are still fighting for our rights today. I'm not exactly sure what that means. Now, it's true that yes, in the 18th century, the law did not look favorably upon homosexuality. I don't know that we can say with the degree of certainty that this actress does, well, if there were LGBTQ people among the founding fathers, it obviously, the legal disabilities placed on homosexuality at the time obviously did nothing to prevent them from advancing the independence of the United States. So I don't even understand what that statement means. So again, if such people existed among the founding fathers, that obviously didn't stop them from doing the things they did to help advance American independence. So what does that mean? The space that was taken from LGBTQ plus people in the creation of the country? Did you want them to be talking about homosexuality while they were drafting the Declaration of Independence? It's not even, what does this mean? And then a country where we are still fighting for our rights today. No, no, you're not. You have them. You have them. You don't have special privileges, although I think maybe in some areas that you might, but you have all your rights today. You have the right to sue in the courts. You have the right to your life, liberty, and property. You have the right to travel. You have the right to enter into contracts. You have all the basic classical liberal rights. You don't have quote-unquote rights, which are simply demands that sloppy thinkers sometimes confuse with rights. As Thomas Sowell once put it, everything desirable is not a civil right. But the whole thesis of the article is aiming, at least in the background, at this idea that the United States is an ongoing revolution, that 1776 is not yet complete. Because, again, this is what I've said many times, the word equality has a way of starting off limited and then becoming a revolutionary crowbar that's used to upend every existing institution. And so the idea, in fact, my old PhD dissertation advisor, Alan Brinkley, who's now deceased, wrote a textbook on American history called The Unfinished Nation. And it has the same kind of Jacobin revolutionary overtones, that the nation is not quite finished because not all leftist demands have been given into. Not all leftist desires have been accomplished. And so the nation is unfinished. So we have to carry on the next level of egalitarian revolution, and then the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. And of course, there never is a stopping point with the left. There's no stopping point. So the idea then is that this musical is particularly relevant today because we're struggling through such means as Black Lives Matter and movements to reestablish abortion rights as guaranteed throughout the United States. And so again, notice that it's just assumed that everybody agrees with them. There's no other way of looking at this. There's no other way of looking at Black Lives Matter other than, well, it's called Black Lives Matter. So if you're against it, you don't think Black Lives Matter. I mean, what are we, seven? So it's just assumed that, well, of course, Black Lives Matter is a, you know, represents a step forward for American civilization. And likewise, it's just taken for granted that, of course, fighting for abortion rights is just obvious to everybody that that's a self-evidently desirable thing. So you can imagine reading something like this, I was thinking, oh, I have the Tom Woods Show. I can always turn on the old microphone and talk a little bit about this. So that's what I'm doing. But in particular, there's a very common claim being made in this article by the various cast members, suggesting that, of course, we all know that the Declaration of Independence didn't even conceive of the possibility that the ideas contained within it might apply to the slaves, or, you know, they're supposed to be called the enslaved people. And this, of course, goes to show what a bunch of hypocrites the founding fathers were. Now, that's very, very common. It's very common to say that. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with the so-called 1619 Project. And that, of course, takes precisely this view. One of the contributors says, "The United States is a nation founded on both an ideal and a lie. Our Declaration of Independence, approved on July 4th, 1776, proclaims that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. But the white men who drafted those words did not believe them to be true for the hundreds of thousands of black people in their midst. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness did not apply to fully one-fifth of the country." Well, we've covered this a bit on the Tom Woods Show with our old friend Kevin Gutzman, with whom I wrote the 2008 book, Who Killed the Constitution. Kevin is actually an expert on colonial and early Republican Virginia, where, you know, so many important early American statesmen and political thinkers resided. And he says, "I take issue with this assertion." He says, "The men who drafted the Declaration of Independence did not believe their words to be inapplicable to slaves." And he says, let's just, considering he was writing an article for the Law and Liberty blog, so that's lawliberty.org. I'll link to this article that I'm quoting from on the show notes page, tomwoods.com/2189. He says, let's just look at the five-man committee that drafted the Declaration of Independence. He says, now we have got Robert Livingston of New York, but he seems to have left no record on the subject, apart from his signature on the Declaration. We can say the following of the other four people. John Adams of Massachusetts drafted the Massachusetts Constitution of 1780, which within a handful of years, a Massachusetts court held had abolished slavery in Massachusetts. Roger Sherman of Connecticut drafted the law that abolished slavery in Connecticut. Benjamin Franklin of Pennsylvania was the president of an abolition society that submitted an abolition petition to the first session of the United States Congress. Then Thomas Jefferson of Virginia, the Declaration's chief draftsman, co-sponsored a bill that would have ended slavery in Virginia, wrote the first draft of the bill that banned slavery from the Northwest Territory, today's Midwest, drafted a bill to do the same in all of the Western states, which failed by one vote in Congress, wrote the most influential anti-slavery book of his age, hired the first black man ever to be employed by the federal government, a surveyor, as president called on Congress to pass and himself signed the bill that ended all slave importations at the earliest constitutionally permissible moment, and wrote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal." He also told a Quaker education reformer that his bill for the more general diffusion of knowledge could be read as applying to Virginia's black children, even to slave children. Parenthetically, by the way, I might mention that one of the cast members of this new production says that in the course of preparing for the role, it became necessary to learn something about Benjamin Franklin. I guess this is the person who played Benjamin Franklin. And strangely enough, this person says something, I haven't got the article in front of me anymore because I was looking at the Kevin Gutzman one, says that it came as a surprise to learn that Benjamin Franklin was a ladies' man. Holy cow, that came as a surprise to you? I thought that was the one historical fact everybody knew about Benjamin Franklin. So they don't know anything about anything, these people. They don't know anything. All they know is a bunch of slogans about, well, the founding fathers were hypocrites. That's as much as they know. Hey, folks, just a quick message from our great sponsor, Liquid IV. As you guys know, I live in a ridiculously hot climate. I'm in Central Florida, and you almost cannot believe how relentlessly and punishingly oppressively hot it is day after day. You have got to make hydration a major priority here, but also anywhere in the country during the summer months, you especially have to keep an eye on it. And a really easy way to do that is with Liquid IV. One stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you 2 times faster and more efficiently than water alone. Not to mention, Liquid IV products taste great. They got 10 refreshing flavors like Concord Grape, Lemon Lime, Pina Colada, Tropical Punch. I tend to drink it in the middle of the day just when I'm kind of starting to fade, and that supercharge of hydration keeps me going. It's super convenient, easy to use, and of course, I'm a fan of the Concord Grape flavor because I'm a very nostalgic and sentimental person, and it reminds me of being a kid. It's got 5 essential vitamins and 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks. Well, grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 15% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WOODS at checkout. That's 15% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WOODS at liquidiv.com. Now back for a minute to the article about the revival, and another cast member says that her father's from Iran, her mother's from El Salvador. So being the children of immigrants, the words in the Declaration of Independence, quote, weren't for my family. These words weren't for me. But the words of the Declaration of Independence are saying, well, first of all, we're talking primarily about the philosophical portion, not the list of grievances, but they're saying that everybody is equally entitled to self-government, and there's no natural hierarchy in the world whereby some people are naturally subordinate to others. How are those words not for you? Now, nobody denies that, like all people, Europeans and Americans have been guilty of great crimes. But I would venture to guess that the average American schoolboy thinks that slavery was almost uniquely an American phenomenon, as opposed to an institution that has existed for thousands and thousands of years and appeared in a great many civilizations and was stopped by what? By a European movement. That's what. largely a British movement. At a time when Africa absolutely did not want to stop the practice of slavery, it was Europeans who said it's going to stop. Now, if Americans today are told that they must endure constant badgering because of something they themselves bear no responsibility for, why, by the same principle, can't they be congratulated for something they bear no responsibility for, namely the movement to abolish slavery? Why is it that we focus only on the grievance and not on something that we can all agree was a wonderful thing and that we should all be happy about? Well, because we can't celebrate anything good coming from the European population, only the bad. In order to believe that slavery was an abomination that needed to be abolished, you had to have some kind of sense that there are some things you can't do to other people, and specifically, that there's a standard of justice that applies not just to you, but also to other people, also to the people you hold in subjection. There's one universal standard of justice, which is an idea that Europeans had been pushing for quite some time, and that when the Europeans made contact with the natives of the New World in the late 15th and 16th centuries, it was in universities in Europe, and particularly the University of Salamanca, where theologians and philosophers explained that, of course, since these peoples we're encountering have the faculty of reason, they are just as human as we are, and they are entitled to exactly the treatment we would afford to other Europeans. That seems like a commonplace to us today, but it's a commonplace because this European inheritance has become a fixture of the way we think. But there's nothing inevitable about it. Samuel Eliot Morison, the Harvard historian, explained that, for example, among the Indians of North America, it was highly unlikely that that idea would ever have emerged. And so he says, the Indians of the same region or language group did not even have a common name for themselves. Each tribe called itself something like "we the people" and referred to its neighbors by a word that meant "the barbarians, sons of she-dog," or something equally insulting. Well, thank goodness Europeans didn't codify that kind of way of thinking, or we might never have gotten the anti-slavery movement. So again, why, if we're going to speak over and over again about the crimes committed by a certain people, why do we not also speak about the heroism of those people? The unique thing about Europeans is not slavery. The unique thing about them is the abolition of slavery. There's a very good article in the American Conservative that I'll also link to on the show notes page, tomwoods.com/2189, that says, a survey of racism, bigotry, and class discrimination around the world makes the United States look tame by comparison. So in short, I don't think there is a benign explanation for people who say, I'm not interested in this play or in this entire area of history because it doesn't involve people exactly like me. I don't see anything particularly heroic about that or principled. That really strikes me as profoundly narcissistic and maybe even deranged. Anyway, I will have links up to various sources I've been citing, reading from, sharing with you today at tomwoods.com/2189. Along with this link, I have a listener who has just created a website designed to help improve your equity investing. Now, I promise you, you want to hear about this. I promise you, you want to hear about this. It's dualmomentumsystems.com. You'll find there investment strategies for people of all risk tolerances. These strategies are designed for the do-it-yourselfer who would rather not pay significant fees to have their money invested for them. Investing advice worth its salt generally comes at a cost, but dualmomentumsystems.com is a passion project, so it's totally free for individuals. Now, I've looked at one of the monthly reporting decks myself, and I can tell you, it is unbelievable how detailed it is and the quality of it. You won't believe somebody's giving this to you for free. You just will not believe it. So if lower drawdowns with great overall returns interest you, then head over to dualmomentumsystems.com and take a look. Now, when you are thinking of starting a website or thinking of starting a blog, before you do it, check out tomwoods.com/publicity and find out how you can get free publicity and other really, really great and important benefits from me for free. So you can find that out at tomwoods.com/publicity. The site I'm telling you about today is dualmomentumsystems.com. I'll also link to that at tomwoods.com/2189. Our old friend Doc Dixon joins us tomorrow. I'll see you then.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.